Welcome to Torah Tzimecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu Perek Lamed, 30. Our perek starts again for the fourth time with the word hoy. In this case, hoy banim sorurim, ne'um Hashem. Woe to rebellious children, Hashem says. And in the first seven psukim of the perek, the Navi mentions what we spoke briefly about in last perek, about the diplomatic ties that were forged with Egypt. Harsh words are directed towards those seeking assistance from Mitzrayim. They are sorerim, like the ben soreru more, the extreme example of the child in Sefer Dvarim who doesn't listen to his parents and meets an untimely death. And like Yeshayahu said in the opening perek of this Sefer, banim gidalti veromamti vehem pashubi, Hashem relates to the nation as children who he raised, who then rebel against their father and the way they were raised. The audience of these words is mainly the officers and leaders who are forming the diplomatic ties with Mitzrayim, going down lots of business trips, dwelling in the capital cities of Mitzrayim to spend all these lengths and efforts to establish these alliances. Ha-holchim laredet Mitzrayim. But there's one major mistake. Upi lo sha'alu. You're not asking me. You're seeking advice that's not for me, and you didn't ask me before you decided to go. And I'm telling you, going to Mitzrayim is going to lead to more problematic decisions and actions. There's a lot of focus on the fact that they didn't ask the Navi if they should go. And this didn't actually happen only once. And in fact, different commentators align it with different events. So for example, Rashi says that this prophecy is referring to when Hoshea ben Elah, the last king of Malchut Yisrael, the northern kingdom, ends up turning to Egypt to get help from Ashur. Although we're told the end result is Hoshea ends up being taken prisoner by Ashur, so it doesn't help. The Radak says this concerning the invasion of Ashur upon the tribe of Yehuda, upon Malchut Yehuda. So we can see how this prophecy can apply both to the northern kingdom and to the southern kingdom, to Shevet Yehuda. The words ha-holchim laredet Mitzrayim, going down to Egypt, can be literal, they descended, or figuratively that this was the wrong move and it will take them down. And they should have trusted in Hashem, which would have been the right move. The people seems to have thought it was an obvious decision and there was no need to seek out the Navi, which again just compounds the problem that it just wasn't on their radar to seek out Hashem. In Pasuk Gimel, we're told that again, it won't go well and it will be a disappointment. V'haya lachem ma'oz paro levoshet v'hechasut bitzel Mitzrayim lechlima. The strength of paro will be for you for shame, and the shelter that you're seeking in the shade of Egypt will end up being a disgrace for you. Pasuk Hay also says it will be a busha in the end, and a bad smell is going to come from it. It's going to smell bad. It's just not going to be something that's going to end well and have the results you're looking for. Pasuk Vav has this exaggerated list and description of the animals and the efforts and the lengths that Yehuda goes to in terms of bringing tributes down to Mitzrayim to establish this alliance. So many animals are being brought that they need to arrange a transport through the desert, sending treasures that won't end up helping. Al-am lo yo'ilu. And it's dangerous. They put their lives at risk going through the desert to get there. So all of this for nothing that's going to come of it. Umitzrayim hevel varik yazoru. The help from Mitzrayim is going to be in vain. It's not going to do anything. It will be hevel varik. It's not going to stop Ashur. Lachain karati lazot rahav him shevet. Therefore, I'm calling them, the Egyptians, haughty idlers that will offer you no assistance. Alternatively, these words at the end of Pasuk Zion could mean that is why the Navi is telling Yehuda to sit still. The strength, the rahav of Yerushalayim is in staying in the city, Shevet, trusting in Hashem, sitting tight and not going down to Egypt. This is also repeated in Pasuk Tedvav, that they will be saved by trusting Hashem and with tranquil means. There's no need to go to Mitzrayim. Behashket uvivitcha tihiya gvuratchem. Your strength will actually be and will be generated in quiet and in trust. In Psukim Chet through Yudzayin, the Navi is told to write down this Nevuah on a tablet so it can be seen for all time and to really establish and drive home that the people deserved their punishment based on their actions, that Hashem was justified. Ki'am Merihu. The nation is a nation that is rebellious, Again, like children not listening to their father, denying he is their father. Lo avu shemoa Torat Hashem. They didn't listen to Hashem's instructions, to Hashem's Torah, Torot. They say in Pasuk Yud that they only want to hear words of flattery. Dabru lanu chalakot. And that there's going to be peace and that they can do what they want. We know that that's human nature often, to just want to hear what we want to hear, even when it's not necessarily in our best interest. Hashem says in Pasuk Yud Bet Lachin, therefore, because you relied and put your trust in your riches to bribe Paro, king of Mitzrayim, your behavior is going to be compared, or can be compared, to a strong wall. Think of it like this. That strong wall that you think is going to protect you, what if there's a weak spot in the middle, which can actually cause the wall to suddenly collapse out of nowhere? And that's what they're told here, that Hashem is going to break this wall that you've put up in that reliance on Egypt. And it's not going to be a small breach, but it's actually going to be a huge breaking, as if an earthenware jug was broken. And the breaking of it is going to be kishever nevel, like one who breaks something to just destroy it into a million pieces, isn't looking to keep any of the shards. Lo yachmol, he won't bother keeping any big pieces. The overall message here is mentioned again in Pasuk Tedvav, ki ko amar Hashem, b'shuva v'nachat tivasheyun, b'hashket uvivitcha tihia gvuratchem. I mentioned it also a minute or so ago, that your strength and dominance over the enemy was designed to come from a place of remaining calm and assured by relying on Gvurat Hashem, but the lo avitem, you didn't want to listen. Instead, you focused on getting the horses from Egypt with which to flee from the impending enemy attacks. But Hashem says it's going to be measure for measure, mida keneged mida, al kein yekalu rodfechem. Your enemies will be even swifter. So the strategy's not going to work. Starting a Pasuk Yud Chet, in Yeshayahu's typical fashion, we are now offered words of nachama, of consolation. V'lachin, and therefore, since you are in distress, Yechakeh Hashem l'chaninchem, Hashem is waiting to give you chen, to bring blessing upon you, and to have mercy on you. Ki Elokei Mishpat Hashem, Ashrei Kol Chokeh Lo. Hashem is a God of justice, and fortunate are those who wait for him. Note this pasuk describes Hashem as a God of mishpat, teaching that good is guaranteed definitely for the ones who deserve it. Like when Moshe in Shmot Perek Lamed Gimel went on Har Sinai after Chet HaEgel asks Hashem, Hareini na et kvodecha, show me and let me behold your presence. And Hashem answers, V'chanoti et asher achon, v'richamti et asher arachim. I will have chen on those I have chen on, and I will have rachamim on those that I have mercy on. That the Jewish people will be shown grace and mercy for all times, and teaches Moshe the way to ensure that that happens when they turn to Hashem. The beginning words of Pasuk Yud Tet are, Ki am b'tzion yeshev b'Yerushalayim, for a nation shall dwell in Yerushalayim. Rashi says these words refer to the time of Mashiach, when the righteous people will merit to live in Yerushalayim. While the Abarbanel and Radak look differently and say that this pasuk is referring to the time of Chizkiyahu, after the defeat of Sancheirev's army, and that at that time, the nation is being promised they will remain in Yerushalayim. And according to the Malbim, this pasuk comes as a response to the people who refuse to sit patiently in Yerushalayim and turn to Hashem, like we saw in Pasuk Tedvav. Hashem says, you won't have a reason to cry. Hashem will have mercy on you when you turn to him with your kol, with your voice, l'kol za'akecha. When he hears you, he will answer you and save you. Vishamato anach. The Malbim says beautifully that Hashem is going to respond to us before we call out. It's kishamato. When he hears, at that moment, he already is responding. And this is similar to a pasuk we're going to see later on at the end of Sefer Yeshayahu in Perek Samech Hei. Vehaya terem yikru'u va'ani e'eneh. Even before they call out, I'm already answering. Hashem's waiting to respond, looking for the slightest possibility to do so. In Pasuk Chaf, even in times of trouble, Hashem will make sure you don't die of starvation and from thirst. You'll have enough bread and water to keep you alive. And the Navi will no longer be hidden from you. You'll want to hear the words from the Navi face to face. It means the student will want to hear from the teacher, and the teacher will want to teach the student. We have these words that some of us may know from Gedolim posters and hear often, Vehayu einecha ro'ot morecha, et morecha. Your eyes will want to face your teachers. Very different than how we saw things described in earlier Prakim, when they didn't want to hear from the Navi and closed themselves off and blinded themselves to the words of the Navi. You will also hear voices behind you, showing you the correct path, leading you, telling you when to turn right and left. Ki ta'aminu can refer to showing you to go right, but also we know the word ta'aminu from the word emunah, that when you have this emunah in Hashem, you will be kept on the correct path and you won't seek idols. When you get rid of and distance yourself from avodah zarah, you're also going to get the rain that you need to help everything grow. Like it says in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, V'natan mitar zarecha, which echoes those words of Shema, V'natati mitar artzechem bi'ito. When you follow Hashem, when you follow the mitzvot, you'll get rain in its proper time. But the words of Shema tell us, Hishamru lachem, pen yiftel levavchem. Make sure not to let your hearts turn you away from the correct path. And when you go after idol worship, then things will be different and the sky will be closed off. Going back to when you're following the right path and when things go the right way, it's not only you that will have what to eat, but your emiknecha, b'yom hahu. The animals also will be able to graze on that day, which is similar again to Shema, v'natati esev b'sadcha livhemtecha. You'll have grass in the fields also for your animals. We're told there's going to be the rain from above coming from Hashem, and also the bodies of the water, the streams, will be full. Plagim yivlei mayim in Pasuk Chaf Hei. And this can maybe connect to the overall metaphor being mentioned here about how the earth is going to move and shake upon the defeat of the enemy. And along those lines, once the earth moves, the water from beneath will be seen and will emerge. V'haya or halavana ke'or hachama. In Pasuk Chavav, we have these beautiful words telling us, these prophetic words telling us about the light of the moon that's going to be like the light of the sun. It's going to be stronger. And ve'or hachama, the or, the light from the sun, yiyeh shivatayim, is going to be even greater, seven times as great, or maybe even a multiple of seven, greater than seven. This could be referring midrashically to that light that was nignaz, that was stowed away during the 7 days of creation for acharit hayamim, for the end of days. And this is where it's going to come out. And we know that the light of the sun is often referred to or associated with healing us. So here, both physically and spiritually, we're going to be healed. Our troubles are compared in these psukim to a physical break in our bodies. And when we're saved, the light of the sun, with all its intensity, is going to aid that process. The perek ends off, starting in Pasuk Chav Zayin, with the future downfall of Ashur. And Ashur is even mentioned by name in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. In Pasuk Chav Zayin, Hashem's appearance is with fire and smoke. We have anthropomorphic descriptions of Hashem breathing heavily, of panting, coming to fight. Ulashono ke'esh ochelet. Hashem's lashon, his tongue, is like consuming fire, referring to the harsh prophecy about the enemy's downfall. And the ruach, the breath that comes out of Hashem's mouth, is compared to rushing water, which is going to submerge the enemy in water up to its neck, a flash flood of sorts. As the spirit of Hashem misleads the enemy army, to attack Yerushalayim. In Pasuk Chavtet, Hashir yihyeh lachem kelel hitkadesh chag. At this time, you will rejoice like it's a festival. And the Midrash brings in the explanation that these words are alluding to when you will sing on the night of a chag. Pesach night, in fact, when the miracle with Sancheirav's army took place. And we make mention of this. We talk about this in some of those piyutim, those words of Hallel at the end of the Seder, when we talk about what happened on the night of the Seder throughout history. This could also be alluding, we have the last Pasuk, talking about the idolatrous practice of Molech that was performed on a Tophet. And the last Pasuk says, Ki aruch me'et mol tafteh. Tafteh, the plural of Tophet, is telling us the place of Molech, the Tophet, the place of burning and destruction, is Aruch Me'et Mol, has already been prepared and has been widened to prepare for Sancheirav's whole army to go down and to be burned. This also can be alluding to Sancheirav's own personal fate, which we mentioned before, that he himself is going to return to his country, to his land, and assassinated by his own children, by his sons. And the words in our in this last pasuk, La Melech Huchan, the Tophet that is being reserved for the king himself, could be referencing the fact that usually Molech is an idolatrous practice that fathers led their sons on these coals. But in this case, it's going to be on the flip. And his sons, Sancheirav's sons, are the ones who are going to bring calamity and destruction to their father through fire. As Avodah Zarah here is being turned on its face, and Hashem's power will be recognized by all. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.